Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. Official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me is always my co-host, Nick Mason.
Sometimes you have to get a run-up on that yes. On that intro.
I don't think I felt... I didn't take a big enough breath.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you going to leave that in?
Nah.
Okay, great. Very good. It's me, internet celebrity Nick Mason.
Correct.
Not true. But I feel we got our first taste of internet fame this week for two reasons.
Yeah.
One, I'm sure we'll get to.
Yes.
With Twitter and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I think the main one for me this week is somebody started making knockoff Weekly Planet t-shirts
yes, they
on Redbubble.
Yeah.
Because, like, we've seen, because, you know, our artist in residence, Golden Legend.
Legend by nature.
Yes.
Thank you.
He makes, he does a lot of our art, and he has made a lot of t-shirt designs, and we say, hey, if you want to buy a t-shirt, just go to Redbubble and type in Golden Legend or Weekly Planet. And I think somebody's twigged that if they make a Weekly Planet t-shirt and somebody types in Weekly Planet, which means that they must have listened to the show, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Great.
I mean, I didn't check out their account, so maybe they've got hundreds of just whatever, just on there, whatever garbage.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, it looked like garbage. Yeah.
So, yeah, but no, that you took care of that, didn't you?
I did.
You went
to his
house. And,
Yeah.
Knocked all his teeth out.
That's right.
But yeah.
But, you know, and you know what? It was like, because the official one, it's very crisp. Like, so we use it for our logo and use it for all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. This one was a very bad cut. It was like a cut and paste job.
Oh, okay,
and
right.
Like, you could see the jet. Like, they've cut around it and it looked all right. But, like, all the internal bits
are
like
okay,
real
jaggy
because he has to go, like, there's a planet in the logo.
Yeah,
so he kind of
has
to, it looks bad. So if you have inadvertently purchased one of those, just consider it a collector's item.
Yes. A very rare and non-expensive collector's item.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's this other taste of internet?
Oh, the biggest taste of internet fame. So last week,
there
were some rumblings on the internet that for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, director James Gunn was going to introduce the character Ego, the living planet.
Yep.
And there was a...
Who's a planet with a face.
Planet with any talks.
Yep.
There's very... very important things about space.
Probably.
And there was an even smaller rumble, an even quieter rumbling that maybe Al Pacino would play that role.
Yes.
And so we asked all listeners to tweet at James Gunn the hashtag Pacino the Living Planet.
Which they
and
did.
And boy, did people do that.
Because we haven't done this for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We did it with Ben McKenzie to
Gotham.
Get him to wear a mustache for Gotham.
Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't respond.
Correct.
But this time, I forget that people... This isn't just for us.
Sure.
Like, people really listen to this.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We assume we record this, and then we put it on the memory card, and then we just sort of fling it into a cupboard. We assume that in 20 years, the cupboard will just be full of memory
cards. That's right. Exactly. And great classic memories.
Mm.
But, yeah, so he actually responded.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
James Gunn.
Al Pacino. No,
not. He doesn't have Twitter, we assume.
Probably not. Mm. But yeah, what did he say? I should bring it up. But he basically said that's a great feed to kind of wake up to.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's already cast and already written.
Yep.
But and also, you don't know how to spell Pacino.
Sure. I mean, he said
that. I knew how to spell Pacino.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So it was nice to get a response. He was a good sport about it.
He was.
And then most people stopped immediately, which was good. There's a few people during the week.
Yeah, thank you for getting on board, but please stop.
Oh, man.
He's had a good week of this. Bless him.
We need to be careful with this. If we can, like, if this is a thing that we can...
Oh, yes, he actually hasn't blocked me, so that's good. Yeah, considering his tweets. That's nice.
Good, good. Yeah, like, we need to be careful with this. Like, we need to pick our targets very carefully. I don't want to...
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't want to upset anybody. Like, he's a good sport, but what if he wasn't? Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, yeah, next time we attack someone we don't like, what do you think? Like, Dave Coulier or something.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's a tweet for another day.
Yeah.
Straight into the news.
Please.
Eventually. Did you see the news on... Have you seen Legends of Tomorrow?
I watched the first episode.
Cool. Fergal Quigley's actually...
Quick, ask me what I thought about it.
Well, Fergal Quigley says, hi, I've never officially contacted the show before. You know, he does a lot of sweet art as well.
He does so much good fan art.
There might be some Fergal Quigley t-shirts in the works as well.
Oh, really?
But yeah, yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. We'll let everyone know that. DC Legends of Tomorrow is a bit of a...
What's good about Fergal Quigley?
What's that?
Our second artist in residence.
Yes. Second, not like as in the second best.
No.
They're both equally the best.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's another guy whose name escapes me right now, but I'll get to it in a minute.
Okay.
But... He's very versatile.
Yes, he is.
He's got some cartoony art.
Yep.
He's got some very, very super sophisticated art.
He does.
Mashes them together.
That's true. Mm. He's got mad skills.
Got mad skills.
DC Legends of Tomorrow is a bit of a romp. Thoughts? I watched both of them. What did you think?
Has there been two episodes?
There's been two,
I only watched the one.
Yeah.
The first one is 50% exposition, at least.
Okay, you're right.
Like, it's a bit clunky insofar
as... Yeah, it's a pilot.
It's a pilot, yeah. And it's... But see, that's the thing, though. As a pilot, I feel like you've got to get the balance. You've got to get everybody up to speed.
Yep.
But at the same time, it needs to feel... Like, I don't know, if you're not already on board with at least some of these characters, I don't know if you would continue with the show.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, are they going to do this every episode? Is it just going to be this is this character, and this is this character, and here's how they interact, and here's a guest character, you know? It's kind of...
I get you.
There was a lot of explanation in that.
There was less so in the second episode.
Okay, cool.
But it was still in 1975, and I was like, I want to see more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, go to...
Yeah, but they've rented out the studio space, the 1970s studio space.
They've got
space,
a laboratory that they have to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, all in all, I enjoyed enough.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
What about you? Like, would you keep watching it?
I'm going to give it four. I'm going to give it four, like all of them.
That sounds like a good amount. I like the cast.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Do you think the... Freeze Gunno.
Yes.
What's his name? Freeze Gunno.
Freeze...
Do you think he's a bit Fish Mooney?
In his
kind of cadences?
Captain Cold, since his appearances on The Flash, I enjoy the fact that he's just enjoying being a real dick.
Yeah.
That's...
He does enjoy that.
Yeah. I don't know. That I'm totally on board. So
good to hear. Mm. Well, then you'll probably be on board with this. At one point, Oliver Queen is going to turn up in the year 2046,
ooh,
and he's going to have a goatee and one arm.
Whoa.
Like he did in the Dark Knight Returns.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet, right?
That is good, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the good thing with this show is because it's time travel, that doesn't mean that Oliver Queen has to lose an arm necessarily.
Yeah.
Like it could be.
I mean, Stephen Amell has to lose an arm because otherwise this isn't going to work.
And grow a dub goatee.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, no, I'm very excited to see that. Like, I hope he does that thing where he fires an arrow with his teeth.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. In The Dark Knight Strikes Again, he's got a robot arm, doesn't
he?
Yes. Yeah, so.
Have you continued to catch up on...
Master Race?
Yes.
Yeah, it's three in, maybe, I want to say. But whatever it's up to, I'm up to date. It's...
How's
okay. It's actually not bad.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not as... I don't think Frank Miller had a massive hand in it, to be honest.
Okay.
And he's even kind of alluded to as such. He's going to do the fourth one, which is apparently going to be
fourth
all
one's
him.
All him. Okay. But he's building up some more goodwill, and then he's just going to Frank Miller the heck out of
yeah,
the next
right.
one.
But no, I honestly can't complain. It's pretty solid, man.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's fine. I mean,
is it because... Dark Knight 1 was sort of a dystopian future.
Yes.
2 was a dystopian future, but it was all super wacky cyberspace future.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's more like the first one.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's the art style is very similar, but kind of updated and, you know, that kind of stuff.
I hope this continues forever and we get a relatively normal one, then a crazy one,
then a crazy one, and then
so on and so forth forever.
You know how I mentioned, though, Fish Mooney before?
Yes.
Coming back to Gotham.
Yeah, I saw.
Now, both of us don't watch Gotham anymore.
Correct.
Is this enough to get you back on board?
No. The worst character. I would understand if they had a pre-existing character in the DC universe, the comic book universe. They translated it to... the TV series, and it didn't work in TV, and you're like, well, you know... But
like Barbara Keane?
Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But to introduce a new character who is the worst character, and then just keep it going. I don't understand. Are there fans of Fish Mooney?
There must be. Someone got that Fish Mooney tattoo.
I remember, yeah.
So, yeah. Look, it's I don't hate Gotham. I just don't. I don't care. It's not connected to anything, so I don't...
Yeah, and it's not compelling enough on its own.
Yeah, but like I like Bullock, and yeah. I like Alfred, and Kid Batman's all right, I guess, but I don't care about Kid Batman. Mm. I want to see Batman. You know, if it jumped 8 years or so, and it was Batman training...
That was what I was hoping for, yeah.
Then, oh, you problem. Yeah. Maybe you put that thing in my head.
Yeah.
It's good for you. Yeah. Did you see there's some new images this week from Batman v Superman? And one of them is the future, the desert.
Oh, yes.
And there's...
The what we're assuming is a dream sequence.
It's like a nightmare sequence or whatever. And there's the giant dark side Omega symbol, like, carved into the earth.
Oh.
And that's pretty sweet. Which kind of confirms that those flying things that we saw in the previous trailers are probably parademons.
Correct, yes.
And that means that's like... That's got obviously going to be the impending threat of the future. Sure. Dark side.
Do you think that, given that the trailers and all the production stills or whatever have pretty much revealed the plot of this one. Mm. Do you think when we watch the movie in full, it will reveal the plot of the next one in its entirety?
It's very possible.
I get the
sense it will. You know what? I've been doing a video. It's out by now, but it's on different Jokers and their origins.
Uh-huh.
And I was going through the Flashpoint comic, which is great. I really enjoy it. But one of the best parts of that is the Batman who is... Bruce Wayne's father,
yes.
Thomas Wayne, who's a psychopath. Like, he's Batman, but he kills people and he's got guns and he's got red eyes and whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool. Jeffrey Dean Morgan has been cast as Thomas Wayne.
That's true, yeah.
Do you think the Flash movie is going to be at some point Flashpoint Paradox and he's going to meet Thomas Wayne? And that's why they cast Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I think they've left the door open for something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Because that has to rebuild the whole universe kind of thing. And
yeah.
I think that, and we've already had that in the TV series as well.
Yeah, sort
to,
of.
To an extent.
Up to on that,
and
yeah.
I think they've just left the door open because they want a good actor and maybe they want a flashback where he's got an action sequence or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. There's also, and the wife is Maggie from The Walking Dead, who I don't think you know.
No.
But she looks a lot like, well, she could be the, because, you know, in also this universe, that version of the Joker is Martha Wayne.
Wait, what?
In the Flashpoint universe.
Oh, yes. Okay, sure.
Martha Wayne
right.
is the Joker.
Yeah.
I think that would also work as well.
Yeah,
I think,
okay, sure.
And this is her, so you can, I just thought about it today.
Yeah, she does totally look like work. A lunatic. So, yeah, a murderous lunatic.
I don't know, man. Like, if that's... I'd love to see that at some point. Probably won't. We'll probably just get the Flash solving a crime or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I want to see crazy comic book stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't want to see
I see where you're going with that.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that's an extra layer that we don't need yet. And I think it'd overly complicate the universe. I think that'd cause the universe sort of collapse in on itself.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Like, but X-Men have done time travel.
Yeah.
And like they even said in that DC thing show from last week or whatever, that Flash can go anywhere at any point in time and into parallel dimensions.
That's true, yeah. Okay.
So I feel like, why wouldn't you do this?
See, I'm very much, I would say to be much more likely that it wouldn't be an affecting the timeline situation, but a parallel universe situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So he goes in the parallel universe, he looks for Bruce Wayne, he can't find it, but he finds Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
And Thomas Wayne's a lunatic.
Yes.
And then, because that would kind of work in a Flash solo movie.
Yeah.
I guess, although it would be another superhero versus Batman movie.
It's only a brief kind of showdown.
Yeah.
But
okay,
yeah, but he ends up fighting the Reverse Flash and there's that Aquaman's fighting Wonder Woman. It'd be like their Civil War. Like it'd be like a solo movie, but with like every character.
Okay.
If they did it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be very expensive, but a variation on that would be cool.
Sure.
Anyway, that's none of that's news. That's just me saying things that I think.
No, that's news. What is the bloody news except for the news readers saying the bloody whatever they think and, you know, what's news?
Also, did you know Zack Snyder went to Nolan and said, look, I'm going to reuse Batman 4 years after. It's only been 4 years since The Dark Knight Rises. Hasn't been that long.
Huh.
And he said, tell me if you don't want me to do it. And then Nolan, after a silence.
Yes.
Doesn't say what kind of silence.
Uh-huh.
Was it an awkward silence? Was he shaking his head? But he goes, you know, while we don't own these characters, when you're done making Batman movies, someone else will. So, yeah, which is Which is it. Which is
in a way,
truth.
That is a weird conversation to have. Because, I mean,
yeah,
what's is Zack Snyder going to just call up DC and be like, look, Nolan said no. So, you know, your billion-dollar franchise, it's going to be missing an element.
Yeah,
the most popular element. We can't use it because Nolan said no.
You're right, yeah. I mean, what other stance, yeah, can Nolan take?
Yeah.
Like you said, he doesn't own him. Mm-hmm. That, you know, what's his name? Bob Kane and Bill Finger do and all that. But they're dead. States, yeah. And DC and whatever.
Yeah.
And probably Warner Brothers.
Has Nolan, in retrospect, has Nolan said anything about the Batman movies? Is he kind of glad to be done with them or?
Oh, okay.
Because I imagine
right.
that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's sick of comic books and all that. I think he just wants to make his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether that be space movies that are bound together by love or hallways that spin.
Yep. With love.
With love.
They spin with love.
So I got a letter here as well. It's from Sean, the official bad feeling about this of the podcast. Any comments on the upcoming Justice League cartoon series coming to Cartoon Network? Looks like Kevin Conroy will be returning and Mark Hamill. He says maybe Mark Hamill, but Mark Hamill is returning. Can I get a shout out for my 4-year-old daughter, Addie, who listens to the show every week? She's the official superhero princess of the show. She thinks, as I do, that you guys are great. Keep up the good work. Sean, the official bad feeling about this. I already said that. That's his name. Shout out to both you dudes.
Hi, Addie.
Yeah, what's going on? Ice cream for dinner tonight.
Yes, that's right. Some all the ice cream you want. People from the internet said so.
Yeah, did you hear about this?
Not at all. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Justice League Action, it's called.
Justice League Action.
So Mark Hamill, after saying he's kind of done with the Joker, and then he did the last Arkham video game, he reappeared. And then he's doing The Killing Joke at the moment, the animated version.
That's right, yeah.
And this is another thing. So I feel like, I don't think he's ever really going to retire. He'll just kind of come back whenever, you know, he feels like he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
This show, though.
Is it, because I'm not quite looking at it yet. Do we have any design? Oh, there we go. Justice League, okay, all right.
It doesn't look like the Justice League 90s.
No, it doesn't,
series.
That's true. Yeah.
They're 11-minute episodes.
Yep.
And the idea is, it jumps.
Our attention spans are only 11 minutes now.
I think that's really what it is.
Yeah, I think that it's true.
And because it jumps right into the action.
Okay.
There's no build up. It's just like, there's an attack on the earth or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it's all steak, no sizzle,
okay.
As they say.
At Sizzler.
At Sizzler. They make
that's probably why they went out of business.
Probably.
No sizzle at Sizzler.
I think there's one left.
They still exist in America. We don't have Sizzler anymore.
I think isn't there one here?
Well, maybe. Oh, yeah, it's in like Western Australia or something.
Let's go.
Let's go right now. Podcast over, everyone. We're going to Sizzler. We're getting that weird cheesy bread.
That they make you fill up on.
Yeah. So they get you.
Yeah. Straight to the Zephyr.
Okay, so always rotating team of Justice League heroes.
Yes. It's mainly Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, which obviously
a somewhat rotating list of heroes.
Which obviously coincides with the movies and all that. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
James Woods is Lex Luthor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like that. Has he been Lex Luthor? No, he was Owlboy. 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 Owlboy, we adopted.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Owlman from the Crime Syndicate.
Crime Syndicate, yeah, okay. Mm. Diedrich Bader is Booster Gold. I like that.
Why do I know that name?
He was in the Drew Carey show. He was not the super tall, freaky monster man. He was the other guy.
Diedrich Bader
yes.
was also the voice of Batman in The Brave and the Bold?
Huh.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's a who's who of...
It is a who's who.
People who did other voices.
It's 11 minutes. I'll give it a crack.
Mm. If it was 12...
No, thank you.
Mm,
sleepy time for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, look, I don't know. Like, because I really enjoyed Justice League and Justice League Unlimited back in the day. I don't know. Whenever they, like, strip the details off them... Like, it's a very simplified animation style.
It does. I mean, yeah, it's one image, but yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not my favorite.
It feels more like, remember Teen Titans Go? Looks
yes,
a lot like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird because I want more depth out of my cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Is that,
but I think
is
we're
that
gonna,
wrong?
I think we're going to get, like, we'll get this stuff, but they're doing the Justice League, sorry, the DC animated movies.
Yeah,
which is
okay.
To kind of get a bit more of that. So I think this is probably more aimed at kids and people who get upset.
And people who are young at heart.
That's right.
These guys.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart's real bad though, isn't it?
Yeah,
could explode in any minute. It's all that cheesy bread.
I can't get enough.
On to Marvel news.
Yes.
So I think we're going to go back to... No, I think this is it.
Okay.
So they did a test screening for Civil War.
Oh, really?
And apparently it was very well received. And with a third...
By whom?
By the audiences.
Oh, okay, sure.
And... Yep. And the third act pulls no punches, and sources couldn't agree whether it was better received than The Winter Soldier was, uh-huh. which was the previously most well-received Marvel movie.
You can't see this, but James is building a little sentence diagram in the air as he says that, just to make sure he doesn't get any of it wrong, and it was very good.
It was so accurate.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's testing well, and they say some people are saying better than Winter Soldier, which was previously the most well-tested one.
There you go. Did it.
Sentence diagram.
Is that the system where they have the audience in there
and
they have like a little box with two, well, like a switch?
That's a very good question.
It moves in two directions, and if they like it, they switch to the left. If they don't like it, they switch to the right.
No, I don't. They still do that, do they?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know.
I feel like is that a real thing, or is that a thing that's only on television?
It feels like something that's only in a Simpsons episode, but I maintain that that was real at some point.
Good.
I imagine it's just exit polling and they say, hey, fill in this form.
Yeah. They're also doing reshoots for that at the moment as well, you know, kind of pickups and whatever. But, That bodes very well, obviously. I mean, who knows? Who knows what the sources are? Who knows what the audience was like? Mm-hmm. You know, Deadpool got a great beta screening for that. It went really well. And people's response generally is, well, that's good, but, you know, it doesn't mean anything yet. You know, Fantastic Four had a really good preview screening.
Did it really?
A lot of, like, tweets were like, they did it. It's a success. It's not the worst movie. So, you know, there you go. If someone was like, here's $10,000, just say Fantastic Four's good, would you do it?
Yeah. No, that's so tricky.
Because you'd have to stick to it forever.
That's true,
and
yeah.
And what about the revenue lost in our Amazon thing from people thinking you're a sellout? Looking at that money, though, it's not comparable, is it?
Absolutely not. No. No. We'd have to sell a lot of bloody fencing socks to make a bloody 10 grand, mate. I'll tell you what. Hey. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So... exciting times.
No, I don't know. No, probably 10 grand wouldn't be enough.
Yeah, you're right. Because you have to...
Your whole life.
That's a life commitment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And people would just pile on. They'd be like, but what about this scene where it's the worst?
Yeah.
You know, every scene. And you'd be like, I don't know.
And every movie that you talked about, people would go, well, you liked Fantastic Four.
That's true, yeah.
So, you know, there you go. Bob Iger, president of Disney, says we'll be getting Star Wars movies and Marvel movies just forever. With like a just... just indefinitely.
We've got the money. You can't do anything to stop us.
Yeah.
We're selling heaps of action figures.
So that's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Did you also hear that Ike Perlmutter?
I heard something about Ike. Oh, didn't he give a lot of money to...
He gave $1 million to the Trump campaign.
Oh, boy.
Look, I don't like to get political.
Yep.
That guy's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, like, right?
If that guy gets in, which I don't think he will.
But he might.
God help us all.
That the American... bloody presidential race is a bloody clown show, mate.
Not wrong.
Somebody on Twitter said that not all of the Republican candidates, not one of them would get through a visit at Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. They would all at some point fall into a vat of something.
Get greedy and grab a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, so this week, Mason, this is something we haven't done in a couple of years, I think.
Maybe not.
Maybe like a year and a half.
Maybe we did it last week. Who's to say? Who remembers anything we talk about on this show?
Where we each choose a comic book movie that never made it to the big screen.
Yeah.
Something that was cancelled. Maybe it got really far into production. Maybe it was only an idea, just a thought bubble.
Oh.
But if it was, we probably...
Where do they get their ideas from? Hollywood directors and celebrities and such. Where does that come from?
Probably Reddit these days.
Probably a book from Amazon about Buddhist mindfulness or whatever that first one was. Click the link, everyone.
Do it. Get a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, we both picked one. Hopefully, different ones.
I picked a bunch of small ones.
Okay. Cool. So we
I'm gonna say off the top.
Yep.
That this might be the last one we do for a while of this particular topic because I'm like, oh, we've done quite a few. I think maybe where's that one I was thinking of? I can't remember all the details. So I googled cancel comic book movies, and the fifth result is the Weekly Planet podcast best, worst, weirdest cancel comic book movies. So I think at this point the snake is eating its own tail. Like I think we've basically run out. So until a little more time has to pass and some more ideas have to
germinate.
Germinate and get in the Hollywood machine and then be destroyed.
I've already got one for the next one.
Oh, really?
So we could at least
do
one more. So you're going to do a few little ones, is that right?
Yeah, I think so,
All right, cool. Do you want to go first? Do you want to do a little one to start with?
Okay.
What do you got?
Hang on.
We say at the end whether we would see them or not see them.
That's right,
But bear in mind, I want to see all of these, no matter how good or bad.
How terrible.
Because most of them have a fascinating story or a real dumb idea.
That's very true. So, all right, this is a good one. This feels like a good one.
Okay.
In like 2007, like pre the Marvel explosion.
Yes.
Marvel wanted to do Doctor Strange, and they wanted Guillermo del Toro to direct it, and they wanted Neil Gaiman to write it.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty good.
That sounds really good.
But instead, we're getting. Some other guy.
Scott Derrickson, and I'm not sure who's writing it.
Uh-huh.
Probably also Scott Derrickson and other people. Yeah.
See, here's the thing, though, about these pre-Marvel Cinematic Universe Marvel movies.
Yes.
This is before they were like, let's make a shared universe.
Absolutely.
And let's have everybody together and let's make it this coherent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this would have been super, super, super weird, but I feel it also would have been like very conceptual and very spiritual Buddhist mindfulness book, whatever that was.
Yep.
And like it would have been at like a very much a self-contained thing. There would have been no room for sequels or connecting anything else
Yeah. It'd be like a John Constantine, movie, which technically DC, I guess, but doesn't. You couldn't really fit that in anywhere.
Yeah, kind of thing. So I think at the time Neil Gaiman had written, he wrote 1602, which was a sort of an Elseworlds what if kind of scenario. It was set in.
I was thinking of that John Cusack movie where he's in that.
1608.
Yeah.
1408.
So, yeah.
1708.
Whatever.
1898.
Yeah.
Hot Tub Time Machine. No, I remember that one. Samuel L. Jackson was in that.
He was, yeah.
He was the mated.
He was in a little refrigerator at one point or something, or a microwave.
Yeah, I remember that. Haunted hotel room.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was essentially the Avengers in the year 1602.
Okay.
And it was pretty good.
Like the actual.
Not the actual Avengers, but like what if they existed in 1602.
Yeah, yeah, so they're not time traveling, but it's like the 1602 version of Captain America who's fighting the Black Plague.
Well, maybe somebody was from the future.
Oh, really? Yeah. Which one?
I'm not going to say. Oh. It's bloody spoiler alert,
mate. Building to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to say yet. But he did that. He did the, I think, an Eternals limited series as well, which is real good.
Yep.
And they were like, we're going to get you we're going to have you write the screenplay for Doctor Strange kind of thing.
Because it was said, Kevin Smith said this famously in the 90s, that the movie world didn't interact with the comic world. They were very separate. Like, he would say, why don't you just grab some of the comic writers from DC and they can write your Superman movie? And he's like, no, we don't. They were like, we don't do that.
It's kind of, it's kind of like an old boys club of like, well, if they get in, we will lose out on writing opportunities. Yes. So they're not, this isn't kind of happening at
all. So this seems like a big shift towards that.
Yeah.
Or one of the early kind of catalysts for that.
But I guess that Neil Gaiman was kind of like, he is the closest.
He covers all mediums.
Yeah, he's the closest you get to like a rock star comic book writer, I guess.
You're forgetting
Rob Liefeld. Yes.
The Michael Jordan, the self-proclaimed Michael Jordan of comic books.
Yeah. And I think Guillermo del Toro at the time was just finishing Hellboy 2, maybe.
Right, right.
And I think the topic, maybe they're having a chat and the topic came up and he's like, hey, Marvel. I want to direct this.
Yeah.
If Neil Gaiman's writing it, I want to direct it kind of thing.
I want bloody Ron Perlman as Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Oh, no. He'd be Mordo.
Yeah, he would be Mordo.
Definitely.
Or Dormammu.
I feel, based on what Del Toro is like now, I think it was probably just a case of overcommitting.
Right, right. Like, he does overcommit quite a bit, doesn't he? He's always, he's got another Pacific Rim, he's got a Justice League Dark and whatever, yeah.
And I think he signed on to do The Hobbit, maybe.
He did.
So there you go.
I kind of wish we got that version.
Of Doctor Strange?
No, of The Hobbit.
Oh, right. Yeah. What do you reckon? Would you watch that?
Yeah, definitely. Who do you cast in 2007 as Doctor Strange? Because obviously they wouldn't have gone with Cumberbatch.
Robert Downey Jr.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's because it's essentially... Because, you know, like... Doctor Strange and Iron Man essentially have the same origin story to some extent.
And same goatees.
Yeah, they're the best in their field, but they're arrogant, they're overconfident.
Yep.
They have they've got a lot of pride, comes before a fall, then they have to build themselves back up again knowing that they're not the greatest.
Yeah, they're not kind of whole the way that they were before.
Yeah, exactly,
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it would have been Robert Downey Jr. Also, that's Robert Downey Jr.'s actual life story.
Exactly.
Yeah, it would have been him.
So do you think that would have been the kind of the kicking off point for the Marvel Universe?
No, I don't think it would have been.
So do you reckon, so like you said, it would just been like separate stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think that's the reason why Ant-Man didn't necessarily work either. The version they were going to make.
Yep.
Because Ant-Man was one of the first Marvel movies in the MCU that they were going to go with.
Uh-huh.
And then it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back to the point where Edgar Wright didn't feel it kind of reflected what he wanted to make and he left.
Yeah, okay.
So this was obviously in that era where you could just kind of do
whatever. Well, in that case, maybe the Edgar Wright Ant-Man was kind of going to be like, again, like a self-contained thing.
Yeah.
Self-contained characters, definitive beginning, middle and end. Mm. And that doesn't work in a shared universe.
Yeah,
in a bloody Disney doesn't want anything with a well-defined beginning, middle and end.
No.
They want a very open-ended end.
What did they say? Marvel movies forever. So.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So there you go. Do you feel like this is kind of off topic, but this next slate of Avengers movies, or Marvel movies, sorry, they're building like the next level, the next team. So when Robert Downey Jr. steps away, Chris Evans talking about wanting to direct.
Right, okay,
like maybe we'll get Lady Thor.
Well, he wants to maintain that beard for as long as possible.
It's a pretty good beard.
It's a pretty good beard when he grows
He looks good with either.
Yeah.
No, that's hard.
Lucky duck.
So I think we're going to get like Benedict Cumberbatch and Scarlet Witch and your Vision. I think that's going to be the next
Do you think Cumberbatch is the...
The Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know whether he'll have
draw. Yeah, he doesn't have the draw. I don't think he has that...
Like the financial draw, he's definitely got people like him.
Yeah,
everybody loves him, but he doesn't. Yeah. He's not as high profile.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think if you imagine Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, he's got the arrogance.
Yes.
That Iron Man does.
Yes.
But does he have the charm to pull it off?
Right, right.
Is it just an unpleasant arrogance? You know what I mean?
Like Sherlock.
Yeah, like Sherlock. It's an unpleasant arrogance.
It is an unpleasant arrogance. Yeah. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of fan art though with him and Iron Man. And that's what I'm looking forward to most.
Me too. Trailer reaction videos.
Totally.
I love them.
Yeah. My one
is
something that very nearly happened on the back of Joel Schumacher's Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
When that was going...
Oh, here we go. I like this. I'm ready for this.
Before that movie came out, the dailies were coming back to the studios and they were loving what they were doing because it... I mean, I'd imagine you walk onto the set of Batman and Robin and it's this amazing kind of freeze palace and whatever.
Yeah, that's true,
There's a giant neon car and George Clooney's there. And
once again, in a lot of movies, you would come to the set, even if you're the star or you'd come in and you'd be like, I don't know if this is going to be garbage or not. I cannot tell. There's a big ice castle, and there's a guy dressed as a Mexican luchador, and there's a green screen here. Maybe what's on the green screen will be great. Maybe it'll be garbage. Who's to say? Not me. I'm George Clooney.
That's right.
Was Bane in the last one?
Bane was in that one. He certainly was. Yeah, it was Bane, Schwarzenegger, Uma Thurman.
Right.
I mean, Bane, I don't know who the actor was. Probably a really popular 90s wrestler.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was called Batman Unchained, but yes, people also refer to it as Batman Triumphant, but I think that was never the official name.
Oh, okay.
And it was initially scheduled for 1999. Schumacher was writing it again and directing along with, what was his name? Mark Proto. That's the one.
I remember that.
And he wrote Thor.
Yes.
And a bunch of other stuff. So the idea was that this movie would kind of wrap up the Burton Schumacher Batman universe.
Right.
Because believe it or not, Batman Returns is linked directly to Batman and Robin.
It is a direct sequel. Everybody's supposed to be the same character.
That's right. I mean, there is that transition of Batman Forever where he kind of, Val Kilmer starts with the Batman Returns-esque suit.
Yeah.
And then it kind of drifts into this weird...
And then he's got the weird nipply sonar suit at the end. Right. It's all just, it looks like one piece of like oil slick.
That's right. Know? Yeah. It's crazy. And like, everybody had signed on, like all the, like Clooney, I don't know how many was contracted for, but it was at least another one. And right. so was Chris O'Donnell. And the story was going to start with, they had a falling out, Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Which I think they did in the last one.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you don't let me ride my bike across the buildings or whatever happened.
I want to bid for this thing, whatever it is. I'll use my Bat credit card.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they have a falling out.
That made me so mad at the time.
At the time even, yeah.
Because I'm like,
because you're a young
man. They
can
trace his identity through that Bat credit card. Where's it going? Follow the money.
So Robin leaves. He leaves home.
Yep.
And I looked up his age. Chris O'Donnell was born in 1970. Mm-hmm. So he would have been 29 in 1999.
Yep.
So this boy that he adopted 2 years prior,
the 27-year-old he adopted.
That's right.
Yep.
Leaves home. Mm-hmm. And they were going to bring in the Scarecrow as the main villain. And what's interesting, there are elements of this movie that do carry over to Batman Begins.
Yes.
I don't know whether that's an accident, but I think they were kind of like, we haven't done the Scarecrow yet.
Yep.
You can't touch the Joker yet. You don't really want to go with Mr. Freeze again, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll go in this direction. So it was Scarecrow and Harley Quinn, who was a toy maker, and they would team up because both of them had a grudge against the different personalities of Batman.
Because Harley Quinn, I think instead of being the Joker's girlfriend, was going to be his daughter.
Correct.
That's why she's a toy maker.
That's right. So she finds out that she was the Joker's illegitimate daughter or whatever. And so she's set on destroying Batman, and Scarecrow Crane. Jonathan Crane has a vendetta against Bruce Wayne, probably something to do with an asylum.
Or
whatever.
She's probably bumping into him in a lift or something.
That's right, exactly.
Always, you know.
Which is pretty much bloody Jim Carrey's origin in Batman Forever. He was jealous because he couldn't get funding for his mind television or something.
Yeah, and then he used the mind television and it blew his mind
television.
Which is maybe why you didn't get the funding, because it blew your bloody mind television, mate.
So there was talk at the time, and it didn't get very far, but Courtney Love was going to be Harley Quinn.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, I guess would have worked. And
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love, as in Kurt Cobain's Courtney Love.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know you knew that. I know that. I'm just saying.
Sure, no.
Who went around the 90s, who don't remember.
I thought maybe
Hull.
You meant Courtney Cox.
No.
Okay.
That would be interesting. Mm. That would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Courtney Love, for those who don't know, wife of Kurt Cobain.
That's a very...
Lead singer of Hole.
Yeah, that's a very...
Daughter of Frances Bean.
Mother of Frances Bean.
Sorry. Correct. Thank you.
That's a very odd choice, I feel. I didn't know that.
But this you got to remember, though, this is the time of, like, Hole would have been big.
Uh-huh.
She was in The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, that's
like,
true,
she was
yeah.
given a red-hot go.
Because,
know?
Like, Courtney Love has sort of variegated from, like, being quite glamorous.
Yes.
I guess that makes sense. Like, that would have been... Because, at this point, the Batman movies are very, very shiny and...
Yes.
And Technicolor.
Yes.
And if you throw... And, like, there's a certain, like... version of Courtney Love that is very kind of grungy and super rock and roll kind of heroin chic.
Yes, yes.
By heroin chic, I mean doing heroin. Like, that wouldn't work. But I guess in that, like, there was that point where Hole was, like, the biggest band in the world a while, and she was super kind of glam. So I guess that would work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the idea was behind this one as well, they wanted to go darker. Or Joel Schumacher says, no, we were definitely going to go darker on this one. Uh-huh. I don't know whether he's just saying that in hindsight.
Mm.
They're like, no, I wanted to give it another shot.
No, I wanted to do Batman Begins. So the credit you give to Nolan, you should really give to me, because I set the groundwork. I do think you're right, though, in the sense that as you look at these cancelled comic book movies, a lot of them do share very similar elements.
Yes.
And it does feel like they went, you know, when in writing Batman v Superman, they went, okay, what did George Miller have?
Yes.
And let's take as much of that as we can. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because
right.
He's not using it and, you know.
Too bad.
Yeah, too bad. Bloody, exactly. Yeah.
But they very nearly signed Nicolas Cage for Scarecrow.
See, that would work.
Absolutely, it would. Like, especially like your Snake Eyes, Con Air era Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
Face Off is probably more appropriate for this kind of duality, madman, kind of slightly melted head looking dude.
Do you think it ever upsets Nick Cage?
Yes.
That he, yeah.
Oh, when definitely. He dropped his dinosaur skull?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or that... It's never coming back. Did he recently have? Did somebody recently have to give that back?
He sold it back, or he gave it back,
because it was stolen, or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because I don't think that's something you can just get.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You can't walk in a museum.
Oh, I found this. Yeah, I definitely found this. Do you think he's ever disappointed that he never gets? I assume the role he wants to be, because he always wanted to be Superman.
Yeah.
Do you think it ever disappoints? Because he named his kid Kal-El.
Yes, he did. That's disappointing. He's got a Superman tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's ever disappointed him that it must have done that? They always want him for the weird role. They always want him for the Scarecrow, or...
I think Green Goblin he was considered for as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah.
We want you... listen, Nick, we love your work. We want you for the creepy monster character.
We need you to upset people with your face.
We know you don't normally do that. We know you're more of a Clark Kent Superman type. We definitely know that, but we think because you're such a good actor, you can look like a weird, intense, creepy man who makes people upset and they don't like you.
And children run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, in this movie, for the most of it, your head's going to be on fire. Yeah, it
absolutely.
Must, yeah.
It must upset him, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So only apparently a handful of people have read this script. Like, it's a lot of these leak. This one never has.
Oh.
But the idea was, so...
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's a case of, like, Schumacher types on a typewriter or something like that?
Well, it says Mark Protosvinek sent it off to them after Batman and Robin had come out, and he just never heard back from them.
Okay,
so,
sure.
I don't know what happened. Maybe they never got it. Mm. Who knows? Email was... It wasn't what it is now, is it?
In it's 98 so true, yeah.
or whatever. 97. So... Batman's on his own.
Yep.
And Harley Quinn and Scarecrow's plan was to drive him insane and then put him in Arkham Asylum.
Okay, yeah.
Right. But
ooh.
This was going to be, Joel Schumacher called it the most expensive movie that would ever have been made for this next sequence. Right?
Okay, I'm ready.
In Arkham Asylum, he faces literally every villain that he's faced in the movies. In the Burton movies and the Schumacher movies. And they were going to get back Danny DeVito as the Penguin, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. These are all dream sequences, by the way. Jim Carrey as Jim Carrey.
Sure, yeah.
Because he didn't really do...
Mind Television.
He just did the Ace Ventura in spandex. Mm-hmm. Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face, a classic.
Yeah.
And Jack Nicholson as the Joker. They'll bring them all back.
Yeah. And Jack Nicholson, at the in the first one, got top billing.
Yes.
Because he was the highest paid.
He got $10 million for that movie up front.
Yeah.
And then residuals.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the back of everything, he made $100 million off that first Batman movie.
Wow.
So can you imagine what they would have had to pay?
Fork out for a...
Can you imagine what he would have looked like?
like
he was pretty old in the... In the first one.
Ew.
Do you think they would have gone...
They could have got bloody Cesar Romero for less.
Totally. Do you reckon they would have gone Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face, who's doing like a watered-down Joker, and then Jack Nicholson? Or do you think they'd have some buffer of villains in between? Because you can't put them back-to-back, can you?
Because Tommy Lee don't think they could do... They shouldn't put them back-to-back, but I think they would have put them back-to-back.
Right.
They would have put them in the same sequence. I think that would work because Jack Nicholson and Tommy Lee Jones are both kind of grizzled.
Yes.
Oh, that would be interesting because you would think maybe you'd put them in and they'd like bond together over like, this isn't this fun? You know, we're just two old guys having fun in this movie. Or they might, what if you put them in the same room and they're like, this is ridiculous. We're better than this. We're out of here. And then they're done.
That's when you need a green screen or at least a divider, which you then take out in post. But so I guess it's a mind battle. But if Batman faced up against all these movie villains, which of them could he not knock out immediately?
Just Bane, I guess.
Well, Bane wasn't, they didn't mention Bane.
Oh, okay, right. So it's just the major ones.
I guess Catwoman he probably couldn't knock out. But looking at those other ones, he didn't really
none
have
of them
a
pose
problem.
None of them pose any physical threat whatsoever at any point.
I guess because it's in the mind, though.
It's in the mind, though,
so
yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
So
also, and there's also no element of surprise anymore. Like the first time he fought the Joker, he's got the flower, the acid lapel,
yes.
And he's got the all sorts of the, you know, all sorts of tricks and real long guns down his pants and so forth.
That's
but
right.
But now he'd just be like, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
I know what you got. I'll punch you right in your face.
That's right. I'm George
But I guess
Clooney.
It's a battle of the mind.
Yeah, totally. Mm. So he overcomes that with the help of Robin because Robin returns. Doesn't say it, but
should
I didn't
call it Robin Returns.
They should call it Robin Returns.
But then I guess that's a spoiler.
Very true. Mm. They didn't say it.
Robin leaves, but does he come back? Question mark.
That he they probably make him Nightwing, wouldn't they? If he comes back.
Yes, but see that's the thing. He was basically Nightwing in Batman and Robin.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
he
lost the cape.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was Nightwing.
And he was 27.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, he was a fully grown adult man who had been adopted by another fully grown adult man.
So the movie ends. He
Great,
gets,
good.
I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't know the details.
I'm glad you said that because otherwise I would have left here tonight just going, oh, what if that movie never ended? Maybe that's why it was so expensive. You go and you never leave.
So Batman travels to Bali, favorite holiday destination
of Australian
for Australian idiots. Yeah. And he enters a cave full of bats and they swarm around him, showing that he conquers his fear of bats, I guess, or fear. Even though he'd already done that.
Is that because Bali's just a real cheap holiday destination and they'd run out of money at that point?
The writer said that he read a story about the monks, the Balinese monks who would go into this cave and to prove that they were kind of, they'd reached a sense of enlightenment and no fear.
And they get attacked by bats.
That's
interesting because the no fear t-shirt is very much a...
it's a Bali staple.
It's a Bali staple of Australian bogans wearing no fear t-shirt.
So I don't know why Bali. What? Like he could have just gone. I think they just went. We should
could have gone to the cave under his house.
That's what I'm saying.
You're already on the set.
Do you think they were like, we should go to Bali? Like now Adam Sandler goes, let's go to Hawaii or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring Rob Schneider.
And this sequence is going to take a really long time, guys.
That's right. Yeah. And Nicholson wants to come inexplicably.
Yeah. My favorite part, I think, is that because I've got the Wikipedia page up here about Batman Triumphant. It's in the Batman 1989 film series page. Because once again, these are all technically in the same universe. That the Triumphant script was heavily rewritten by these two other writers and made into a project titled Batman Dark Knight. I want to be specific here, not Batman
Can you spell
Dark
that?
Knight. D-A-R, capital K-N-I-G-H-T.
Are you sure it's not Batman Dark and then Knight
like
with an N?
No, it's capital D A R.
Yeah.
Capital K N I G H T.
Like one word?
One word. Batman Dark Knight. Like, I see where they're going with it, but they're wrong. You would pronounce that word Dark Knight.
Like duh.
Yeah.
Knight. When do I put my batsuit on?
Yeah.
Duh.
Knight.
So nobody involved in this.
What's the best chess piece? Duh. Knight.
It's Queen. But
It's probably the Queen. This script kept the Scarecrow, but replaced Harley Quinn with Man-Bat.
That's an easy switch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
You barely need to rewrite any of the dialogue. I'm the Joker's daughter, Man-Bat.
I was driven mad, and now I make all these toys. I'm Man-Bat.
So nobody wanted to do it. Like
Schumacher dropped out.
Schumacher was keen, but initially. Clooney... Yeah. From the get-go, as soon as he saw that Batman and Robin, he's like, "This is we've killed the franchise." Like this.
Well, he's famously said if someone comes up to him and asks him about Batman and Robin, he'll just give them their money back. Like, it'd be like, what'd you pay at the cinema? And they'll be like, $10. And you'd be like, here's $10.
$10.
I'm sorry.
So, I guess the good thing out of this led to a number of Batman movies that were potentially going to be made.
Yeah.
Like, Darren Aronofsky was going to make one at one point. And the one I think I want to talk about next time.
It was going to be a Robin spin-off with Chris O'Donnell.
God. Was it called Robin's Back? Or yeah.
Just Robin this time.
And one of them was that they considered, which I'd love to talk about at some point, Batman Beyond.
Yes.
They were seriously considering that.
Yeah, good.
And that is something I definitely want to see that we probably won't ever see.
Mm.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like something that would fit into what they're doing at the moment. But that's the story of Batman Triumphant /
Batman Dark Knight.
Unchained.
Oh, sorry.
Unchained, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, do you want to see that?
Yes.
I mean, if we had got this, we wouldn't have gotten the Nolan Batmans, which means we wouldn't be where we are now with this universe. But as always is the rules, if you could step into a parallel dimension
yes.
and watch that movie at the risk of losing a hand, no risk, would you do it? Like, you'd see it, of course.
Yeah, and I can still operate a bow and arrow with my teeth. So
definitely, you can. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
hey, speaking of operating a bow and arrow with your teeth,
yes,
here's one that I've always wanted to see it, but it's always struck me as very odd. I don't think we've talked about it before. We've probably talked about it in real life.
Yeah.
But in 2004, it's David Goyer again who writes a whole bunch of... He's written every bloody...
He wrote a big hand in the Nolan movies. He wrote Man of Steel.
He was asked...
He directed Blade 3.
No, he didn't. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm. He wrote a script apparently, and I haven't seen it. I don't know if maybe it's one of these ones that got sent off in the post and never... return to anyone. He wrote a script called Supermax in 2004.
Okay.
Which was later became Green Arrow Escape from Supermax.
Ooh!
Yeah.
I don't think we've talked about this.
Okay, so basically, Green Arrow is framed for murder.
Yeah.
And he is thrown into the Supermax penitentiary for metahumans.
Right.
And he has to team up with some of the criminals that he put away.
Mm.
And fight his way through the rest of them in order to escape and clear his name, basically.
That sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing, but here's the thing about it, is that this was in 2004.
Right.
It's Green Arrow. Like, if you were like, okay, we're going to do a 2-hour season finale of Arrow with Stephen Amell, Green Arrow, and he's going to be thrown into prison and then he has to escape.
Mm.
I'd be like... That makes perfect sense. That would be amazing. Have you seen him do that weird chin-up thing where he bumps the bar up every time
he does the
chin-up?
He could probably use that to get over a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He'd be like, but at 2004, Green Arrow was not this super fighting machine. He's lived on an island, you know. I mean, that was his origin.
Yes.
But for the most part, like, Green Arrow's gone through various eras.
Mm.
One, rich guy who's just ripping off Batman.
Yes.
He's got an arrow car. He's got an arrow plane. He's got an arrow cave. He's got boxing glove arrows, right?
Like Batman.
And then he went through an era where he was just lecturing Green Lantern all the time. Like, he was like, I used to be rich and the rich ruin everything. And why don't you get out of your bloody green bubble, stop flying around in your green spaceship and come down and go to walk the streets of America and you'll learn a thing or two about a thing or two, young man. There was that era.
God.
And then...
Was he like, geez, just give it a rest.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Booster Gold.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bigger dickhead than me.
He's from the future. Turned out fine, I think. But, yeah, like, in 2004, and then I guess there was the Dark Knight Returns shooting the arrow with his teeth. But at no point would I be like, yeah, throw that guy into super maximum prison.
You're right.
Have him fight his way out. He's wearing a Pied Piper hat, for God's sakes.
Nobody knew that character then.
Yeah.
Unless you're a kind of a diehard comic book fan.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a weird additional layer to put on.
Mm.
Like, especially when most comic book movies are like, here's the origin.
Yeah.
And here's a villain to fight and do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's a character you've never heard of and we're throwing him into prison in a whole bunch of really narrow hallways where he can't effectively use the weapon he's trained to use. What's this
is
guy good
makeshift?
At?
Shift? Is he made one out of like toothbrushes he's melted together?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe there'd be like a one action sequence in like the exercise yard.
Right.
Where he can really bust it out. Does he have
perfect aim?
I'm not like superhumanly.
Yeah,
perfect, but he's pretty good.
Like he's not like Bullseye where he can kill you with like a paperclip or a peanut.
I don't think so.
Is what I'm saying, yeah.
No, I don't think so. Mm. He's pretty good, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Would they have to do? Because they'd have to at least explain some of his backstory in terms of he was on an island or something like that.
Yeah.
He's highly trained. He's basically Batman, but with bows and arrows, and then he goes into jail.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that feels like a second movie in a trilogy.
Exactly, it does. Listen, but this was just straight up.
Oi, come here.
Yeah.
Come here. Sorry, guys, my dog's bloody out.
Dog. Yeah. I wasn't trying to leave.
He was.
I'm bored with this. I'm in the middle of my description, but I'm gonna leave.
Good girl.
Yeah. But yeah, so like at one point, hang on, what do we got here? Yeah, Goya wrote it with this other guy, Justin Marks, and I think he talked to MTV once and he described it. He's like, it's a very, very awesome prison.
Right? Wow.
He majored in architecture in college and design is how he started. So he's like, okay, he's designing the prison like as a, like the prison is a character kind of thing.
Right.
Like it's, you know, you have to contain a guy who can generate ice storms. So you've got to build like each, I guess it would be kind of video gamey in the sense that each room would be like you'd have to go into a different cell and fight a different bad guy every time. And like they'd have their own environment kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, right?
Maybe the floor's lava in one room.
Yeah, so like what kind of a cell would the guy like that need in order to like have his powers neutralized or whatever?
Right.
So like to escape from the Supermax, all these guys have to get together and like sort of reverse heist this whole building, you know, with superpowers.
I just want to point out that the writer, Justin Marks, he wrote Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Of course he did.
And he's also going to do Top Gun 2. So
mixed bag.
Sorry, go on.
Okay, so it was going to include a number of villains from the DC Universe.
Yep.
So we got the Icicle was going to be in it. Mm-hmm. Amanda Waller.
Yep.
Presumably not in prison, presumably out of prison.
Good.
Presumably staring down at that exercise yard, going, he's never going to escape from this Supermax prison. But then he makes the longbow out of the bloody toothbrushes, and then he gets like a toilet plunger, and he gets a basketball. He puts it on the end, and he's made his own makeshift boxing glove arrow. You know what I mean? It'd make that ka-tunk noise. Ka-tunk. And he'd maybe say, like, slam dunk. You know? You know what I mean?
And they'd be like, technically it's not a slam dunk.
It's more like a three-pointer.
Yes, thank you.
Gemini was going to be at the Pied Piper.
Yeah.
He's not really a villain.
The rat guy, right? He could control rats. Well, some versions of him.
Yes, yeah.
I guess that's handy in a prison.
The Riddler was going to be in it. Lex Luthor was going to be in this prison.
Holy shit. So it wasn't just
the Joker was going to be in this prison.
So it wasn't just like the Icicle.
No, it was not, no.
It's like proper DC villains.
Yeah, like that was the plan, yeah. And see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this very much, like, when Suicide Squad was announced.
Yeah.
I felt, like, similar kind of vibe. Like, it's a bunch of unknown people, but we've also got the Joker. We've got, like, it feels to me, like, very much like Suicide Squad is borrowing some of these ideas.
Absolutely. Who do you think at that time they would have put in as,
The Joker? Jack Nicholson.
Again. As a Green Arrow.
Ooh.
I'm thinking Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Off the back of Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds. It's pretty hot then, man.
Okay, sure.
And he did Blade Trinity with Goya, so Goya must have had his eye on him. Or Chris Klein from Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get, yeah.
Maybe Freddie Prinze?
No, they're not. None of those guys are tough enough.
Oh, well, okay, fair
you
enough.
You
need someone who can convincingly break out of a prison.
What was the name of the guy who played M. Bison in Legend of Chun-Li?
Oh, Donald. He's in bloody...
He's in Arrow.
He's Dum Dum Dugan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put him in.
Yeah, put him in.
Yeah.
He'd be good. As
so he's got the Legend of Chun-Li connection.
He certainly does.
McDonough.
Yeah. So, yeah, because he... Yeah, because I was thinking...
I reckon
thinking,
he could look
definitely.
Shredded.
And you guy. Wouldn't... Yeah, because I was thinking you make him 25, but you wouldn't. You could make him like 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Neil McDonough's always 40.
He's always been 40. Absolutely. No, I want to see that now. I don't want to see that then. I want to see the version that they would make now.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to get, well, not for a while, a Green Arrow movie.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, because they're making The Flash, so maybe we'll
what
get
about
a
Suicide
Arrow.
Squad 2?
Yeah.
What if Suicide Squad 2 is, they just throw all these, whoever survives this one.
Slipknot.
Just Slipknot. They put them all in the prison, and they're like, look, we don't have any more use for you.
Yeah.
We're just going to kill you all
yeah.
tomorrow or whatever. And they have to bust their way out of a prison designed specifically to hold them all in. That would work.
All for that.
Yeah.
But do you think the prison would have to be run by somebody who's corrupt?
Yeah, Slipknot.
The
band Slipknot.
Up against Slipknot, the supervillain.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it couldn't just be them trumping Amanda Waller. Because Amanda Waller is kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I reckon maybe a LexCorp. Maybe it's a LexCorp prison, right, like right, a private prison. Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
And it's run by Slipknot. The band Slipknot. No, I don't know.
Who's like a B-grade Lex Luthor?
Maybe it could be run by Lockup.
Right,
he was a guy invented for the Batman animated series.
Yep.
And then he was brought into the regular comic universe, and then they never really did anything with him.
What about a Maxwell Lord?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's not really a prison guy.
He's not really a prison guy. Yeah. Hugo Strange?
Right, yep. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
I was thinking Scarecrow, but that's more Arkham. Like, it's not really a kind of... Yeah. Like, it's not really a
they wouldn't
of
give him. They wouldn't give him administrative powers over a bloody prison. No, he's not. Although he could be in that prison.
Yes.
And then he takes over and gets to kill him, attempts to kill them all for various reasons.
That would also... that.
And they could flood the place with fear gas.
Yeah.
And then everybody could want to fight Jack Nicholson Joker. Overcome their fear.
That very much reminds me of even the game Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of kind of similarities there where all the super criminals are locked up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to kind of get out and he can leave whenever in that game, but
yeah,
choose not to. But yeah, no, you could do a version with that, not necessarily with Green Arrow. You could do it with like Batman or any kind of grounded.
As a Batman, I was thinking that would be a better character to throw Batman in there. We all know who he is.
But would you have to unmask him? Or do you think he goes in and the criminals lock it down and he has to get out as Batman? Because you couldn't unmask him and him be Bruce Wayne, because then that kind of ruins that universe.
Yeah, I think maybe he goes in as, like, Matches Malone.
Okay.
Famous Batman informant who is actually just Batman with a mustache, and he's always flicking matches around. And he's a real fire hazard.
He's a real bloody fire hazard.
I think maybe he goes in like... he gets some sort of temporary plastic surgery or something. Like something, some kind of in
like
between.
Like a morphing putty or something.
Yeah, a morphing putty, and he goes in.
Or like one of those hologram mask face things.
Yeah, maybe he goes, hologram mask thing, and he goes in to interrogate somebody and he thinks he's going to be in and out.
Yeah.
So he doesn't bring any gear.
Yeah.
And then it gets locked down.
Right.
And they're like, we know it's Batman. And then they kind of.
Would you like to see though where he's got like a bat suit stored there? Like an emergency one?
No, that's too much.
You don't reckon? I feel like Batman would have one.
Yeah, no, I like there. Because we've played Batman Arkham Asylum. Yeah. He's got a secret bat cave on Arkham Asylum. Like he's got an extra one, and that's kind of fun. But no, because that would
takes
the fun out of it. Like I think you know some of these movies there isn't a super over reliance on Batman gadgets.
Mm.
You know, there's scenes where you go, I could have done that if I had. If I had that weird Batman computer with the gun in it.
The computer can get the bullet
out of the wall. thing. Yeah, like, so I would like a one where we know it's Batman, and you go, okay, well, he hasn't got any gadgets, he hasn't got a plane, he hasn't got any way out, he can't talk to Oracle, he can't do any of those things, he's just got to fight his way out.
Well, that's the kind of thing I want to see. I want to see kind of smaller Batman movies. I don't need every Batman movie to be, we're going to destroy the city, Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he has to do something like that, or it's just something, a low-level kind of street.
We're going
to
destroy the countryside, Batman. There's not as many people out there, but it is very picturesque. You don't want us to do that, Batman.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, not everything has to be. I think every one of those Dark Knight movies is, the city's going to be destroyed.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So, and I like those movies, don't get me wrong, they're great. But, yeah, I want to see something more like that.
Mm.
And seeing, like, the Ben Affleck, Bruce Wayne, fight his way out of prison. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're onto something.
Shirtless. But then he gets a shirt.
In a secret compartment.
No, just a regular, the bloody dispensary where they have shirts. He just gets a shirt.
You'd have to make it, you couldn't give him a false face. He'd have to be Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that's true.
But
how do we get around that? How do we write around that?
He's got a hood. I don't know.
Better. Very good.
I don't know. I guess if he's kind of dirty and grizzled and beat up enough,
you
wouldn't suspect
that
it's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I guess.
That's a good point.
You know? Maybe he's just got the eye makeup, like Arrow used to have.
Yeah.
Just that cool strip.
Conveniently had it when it was important. Wasn't wearing it when he needed to be unmasked quickly.
That's right. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Should we leave it there? So we save some for another day? Because I know you've got another one that we could talk about. But let's hold on to it.
Save it for next time. I should probably learn more about it. Because I only really remembered that it existed like today.
That's pretty sweet though, man.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty bloody sweet.
Yeah.
You know what it's time for then?
What's it time for?
It's time for our favourite segment of the show. What we're reading, what we're going to read.
We're reading what we're going to read. And there's a theme song.
There is.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today?
Yeah, good.
What are you going to read?
Well, what I did going to read...
Go on.
...that I did read, but unread I mean watch.
Mm.
I watched the first two episodes of The X-Files, season 10.
So did I.
What do you reckon?
Same old shit.
Oh, boy.
It's not terrible. How 90s is the intro?
Yeah, so 90s.
I was like, oh my God, I'm it's like the having same flashbacks.
One. Yeah, like they've gone...
so blurry.
Yeah. Look, again, there's been a lot of exposition so far. It's interesting... I don't know, because did you like The X-Files when originally?
Yeah, man. I was like way too young to be watching it. Yeah. But do you
feel that this is a good continuation or a bad one?
I feel it's exactly the same.
And is that good or bad, though?
I think TV has moved on,
yeah.
But I don't hate these characters.
Yes.
And it's a lot of reliance of like, everything we did before was wrong.
Do you
now
feel,
there's a new conspiracy.
Do you feel that?
Come on.
Do you see them as, here's my question, do you see them as Scully and Mulder? Or do you see them as Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny at this point?
Oh, I see Duchovny more as...
Duchovny.
Duchovny, and I see Scully more as kind of as Scully.
Yeah, yeah. Because it feels more...
Not
because, like, Mulder has retired to some extent.
Mm.
So in the first one especially, like, he doesn't wear a suit anymore. He just looks like David Duchovny's just walked in. Like, he's just walked in off the streets of Hollywood, and he's just like...
He's just come straight from his sex addiction meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, I am looking for... Because my favourites were always like the...
Monster of the Week.
Monster of the Week, but also like the funny ones. Like my favourite one, my favourite X-Files episode, it's not funny. It's more depressing than it is funny. It's called Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. It's got Peter Boyle in it.
Mm.
And he's a... It's the premise of the episode is that Mulder and Scully have gone to a small town to investigate like this serial killer, and the local police have also brought in this guy called the Stupendous Yappy, who's a TV psychic,
right?
And he's just like this cold reader guy, like the body will be found near water kind of thing,
right?
You know,
right.
And he's one of those, you know, he just throws out a whole bunch of
vague
things that some will come true and the believers will believe kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Peter Boyle is this guy called Clyde Bruckman who really is a psychic and he can see how people are going to die.
Oh, I have seen this
and he's
one.
Like, yeah, and he's a life insurance salesman.
Is this the dude from... Everybody loves Raymond. I have seen this one.
Yeah, he won an Emmy for that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a really good episode. And it also, it kicks off this one of the things I really liked about The X-Files is there were so many, which is weird because I hated about Lost, but it put in these like, some of these plot threads that were never 100% resolved.
No, certainly not.
But for whatever reason in The X-Files, they worked for me because it was like...
But you didn't stick to the end.
Did I?
Did you? Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah.
So you went through the Doggett era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, so in this episode, Clyde Bruckman can see how you're going to die.
Mm.
And, you know, Scully's obviously the skeptic.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, Mulder, you're going to die through autoerotic asphyxiation accident or whatever. And Scully's...
Is he joking?
Like, who's to say? And then he says, look, this is how I'm going to die kind of thing. And in the end, it's true.
Mm.
But before that, Scully says, all right, how do I die? And he says, you don't. And so there's been this theory running through the X-Files, through the later seasons especially. Like at one point, Scully's abducted by aliens, et cetera, et cetera. That like, and she had cancer and then it was cured and that sort of thing. And so this background theory is that Scully had her... life extended forever through some sort of alien experimentation.
Which is, and in this later season, I guess, spoiler alert, that does tie, I completely forgot that.
Yeah.
That does tie in, doesn't it?
To
where she's at.
Yeah.
Where she's at now.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I feel like I should go back and watch a lot of X-Files, but I'm like, I just can't.
You don't have, look, you don't, I think recently I read, people on the internet are very good. I read it, it was for Buffy.
Mm.
It was, here's the watching order for Buffy. Here's how you skip all the...
Crap.
The crap, exactly. Right? You just, here's all the important plot points. Here's the highlight episodes. You can skip the rest. And I think that's
skip
probably...
Skip the one where Doggett falls into the underground maze with the lizard man who blinds him.
Skip the episode where Mulder and Scully go into a virtual reality world and they have to fight virtual reality cowboys or whatever.
Skip the one where Giovanni Ribisi kills Jack Black with lightning. Actually, don't skip that one.
That's pretty. That's
a real one. And it's great.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty on board. It's weird that it's a show about technology might doom us all, and also it's a throwback to like fun 50s.
Right.
Like, here's aliens from, you know, Area 51 or whatever, and this is now a throwback to that.
Okay.
Like, sure. It's now a throwback to that. Remember that show we used to like where they would investigate aliens from the 50s?
Did the gunman die?
Yeah.
I thought they did, yes.
Yeah, they all died at the end of the last episode.
But there's a character that appears that I'm fairly sure was incinerated
in the last episode. Yeah, he's back, inexplicably.
Yeah. I saw him get incinerated, didn't I?
Yeah.
Like, that happened.
I mean, you saw an actor playing him get incinerated.
Using special effects,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But look, no, I don't hate it
by
any stretch. I'm glad there's only six.
Okay, I understand.
It's weird that they're just like, do you want to be in the FBI again despite being on the run for 10 years, Mulder? And he's like, I guess I
was on the run. I guess nobody has my phone number because I was on the run for so long. But
Skinner looks exactly the same.
Weird, right? His beard's grayer.
Maybe younger?
He might look a bit younger, yeah. That's what I was going to say. That was my point, is that my favorites were the funny ones.
Yes.
So I'm kind of looking for, I think there's two or three.
Oh, good.
I think there might be two.
There's only six. So,
I think there's maybe they've said maybe there's two kind of funny ones. So I'm looking forward to those.
And there's not going to be any kind of Monster of the Week stuff?
No, there's going to be a couple of Monster of the Week.
Good.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I want to see. I want to see a weird, fat-sucking vampire man.
Yes.
Or a leech that lives in the
sewer. That's what I'm saying. There's more. I want to see if there's like a killer meme or something. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
A killer, like you look at a bloody Snapchat and you die. You know, because there's an artificial intelligence and he's killing you with Snapchats.
I really hope there isn't.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I got a what we read here from Joseph Farmer.
Yep.
Hey, James and Meso. Don't know if you've ever heard of a company called Rooster Teeth. They're big on YouTube and have recently released their first movie. It's crowdfunded and being
Laser
shown.
Laser Team.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have recommended this and being shown in select cinemas around the world. Anyways, long story short, me and girlfriend went last night. We had a blast. I really think you guys will dig it. For a low budget movie, it's amazing. A sci-fi comedy with four idiots who have to save the world from an alien invasion. I don't like YouTube made crowdfunded
content
movies or content. Right. Do you know what I mean? It's like the Nostalgia Critic has to save the universe or whatever. That's not a real movie probably, but I don't like any of that shit.
Okay.
That being said, this does look kind of great. Like I watched the trailer and I'm like, yeah, I know. I'll definitely.
When is that coming to VOD?
It might be out now. The premise is from the trailer I saw, there is this super suit that you get to defend the Earth.
Uh-huh.
But these four guys get like a different piece each.
Oh, okay,
and it's
sure.
Like welded to them. So one's just got the helmet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it actually does look kind of great.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
It's nice to hear that it's.
I love it.
It's good.
Oh, one other thing.
Yes.
I tweeted about this last week, but then I forgot about it.
Mm.
Do you remember that guy? You remember when the first Force Awakens trailer came out?
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh, this is so different from the last ones. There's so much space and it looks so delightful. And then a guy just. George Lucasized the trailer.
Yes.
He just sort of just smashed everything in and just millions of lens flares and special effects.
It was Wizards of Oz?
Yes. The guy who made that trailer, he has made I think it's a 6-episode series. It's a sitcom called The Wizards of Oz, Oz AUS.
Yep.
And
I don't remember his name. I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. He's the main character. He wrote it. He directed it. And he did all the special effects. And
awesome.
It's very good.
Guy Pearce, isn't it? Yeah.
Reprising his character from Iron Man 3 based on how he dresses. It's basically about...
Michael Shanks,
there we go. It's basically about a guy, he's a wizard in some sort of wizarding realm.
Mm.
Like, and it's some sort of combination of like Lord of the Rings and just Cthulhu and all kinds of weird mythology.
Madness.
Yeah, just madness.
Mm.
And he decides that he's sick to death of everyone just... being killed by dragons, like everybody in his life, and he decides he's going to move to Melbourne.
Right.
And he moves to Fitzroy, which is sort of the hipster capital of Melbourne.
Boy, is it, yeah.
And it's just his life, and also like another wizard who is like his rival wizard follows him and moves in next door. And it's very funny.
So you've watched it all?
I have watched it all,
Do you know any of the people in it? Probably.
I know Mark, who is the evil wizard.
Good stuff. Yeah. Mark Mitchell.
No, not Mark. Well, Mark Mitchell
is in it. Con the Fruiterer.
Yes.
Couple of Day.
Yep.
Racist stereotype.
Correct.
Italian Fruiterer in the '80s.
Yeah, it's very good. I enjoyed it a lot. And you can get it. Well, I was going to say you can get it for free on the internet.
Mm.
You can probably it'll be on DVD at some point or like iTunes or whatever.
Yeah, it's on SBS On Demand at the moment.
Yes.
So if you got a torrenting, not torrent, like a
VPN
proxy thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it works in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But if you go to like just go to search SBS On Demand in Google, and you can just find it.
I think he's going to put it on his YouTube as well.
Oh, great!
Well.
Okay, fantastic.
But no, that's
check that out. It's very funny.
It's nice to hear that Australian things can be good, also,
isn't it? Though
it's
nice to see every once in a bloody blue moon.
Oh, bloody Liam McIntyre's in it as well. Spartacus, Weather Wizard. So that's cool. Yeah,
okay.
Our mate.
Yeah.
Right, there's
also Ghost Rider, isn't it? But it's like I don't know. I don't know how they get around the legalities of that. Ghost Rider's in it.
Parody.
Who knows?
Nobody cares about Ghost Rider.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
All right, you got that sweet letters theme ready?
Ooh.
Not letters. Yeah, letters.
Yeah, letters. We did. Yeah.
I'm ready.
I'm not ready.
He's not ready.
I said I was going to be ready. I'm like, I'm going to be ready this week. We're ready this week. You're drinking from a Star Labs coffee, mate.
I am. I'm very, look, sweet plug, I guess. This came in the Geek Fuel box this week.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
It's really, I really like it.
Yeah, nice.
I'll put the link below if anyone cares.
Oh, nice. All right. It's letters time.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Hang on, here right now, we're going to do letters.
What a fun song for a fun segment.
It's a fun segment. The funnest segment around.
If you want to contact the show, you can.
weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or go on Twitter and hashtag weeklyplanet, the weeklyplanet.
Weeklyplanetpod.
There we go.
And that's how you do it.
We'll find it.
We'll bloody find it. So this is a letter. It's from Auden, age 14 in the UK. Hello, James, Nick.
Ice cream for dinner.
Hello, James, Nick, Mason.
You can make your own decisions. It's fine.
Mason and Nick and James and Nick. How are you doing?
Great.
What movies do you love that everybody hates and vice versa? Thanks.
Ooh. It's a good question. Let me think.
I can think of stuff I hate easy.
Yeah, pretty good, right? Give us one you hate.
What does that say about me? I don't like Batman 89.
Yeah, fair enough.
At all. I don't hate it. You know, it's fine.
Uh-huh.
I really hate Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think he's a prick and a sociopath. And I think he should have driven off that Ferrari off that cliff and died.
Wow.
I think he's a bad bloke.
Yep.
And I'm glad he reprised the role as a 40-year-old man in a weird Super Bowl commercial a few years ago, and it looked really sad. So I'm glad that's what his life is.
Oh, so not only do you hate the movie, you also hate the actor.
No, I'm more the character. I don't mind Matthew Broderick, but I just think he is just an insufferable piece of crap. And I'm sick of his shit. Like, he tricks everybody into thinking he's dying. He's just a bad bloke. Not as bad as the principal, who is a real-life pedophile.
Oh, boy.
Or sex offender. Or you got arrested for child pornography. It's not important. You know what? It is important.
The distinction is kind of important if we don't want to get sued. The distinction is very important.
Yeah. So, no, don't like him. Don't like him at all.
What am I always banging about? What's a movie that I always like? And you're like, shut up, it's no good.
Sunshine.
No, I don't like that movie. I mean, I'm not against it. I just don't care.
You hate Looper. I know that.
I do hate Looper. Yeah, I hate Looper. It's a bad movie.
You hate Top Gun?
I've never seen Top Gun all the way through.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So maybe I love it. I don't know.
I wouldn't say I hate, but I don't like 2/3 of the Bourne films.
Okay, sure.
Because it's just all kind of... We've talked about
it. But not everybody loves the Bourne films.
No, but I feel like they get a lot of kudos for being pretty
I feel there's an episode
flat.
In this. Like, I'm not...
Yeah, okay.
I don't know where to go right now, but I reckon if I could come up with a list of stuff that we should come up with a list of things that we individually love.
Yeah.
But we're pretty sure the other one thinks is garbage. And we have to convince the other one.
Okay.
That those
we can maybe do that
good.
Next week. I don't think we'll do anything.
Yeah.
I got one more. We both hate this. Gangs of New York.
Yeah, that movie's no good.
Yeah. Do you remember the time everyone's
I hate pretty much every Terry Gilliam film. I hate the film Brazil. There we
Me
go. That's
too.
One. I hate
the film Brazil.
It's garbage. You always bloody heaps of lists on the internet. What's your top 10 favorite films? And somebody's always like, I love Brazil. It's so amazing. Amazing world and everything about it. It's not. It's a garbage film.
It's
a pile of crap. It's really poorly produced. Like,
it's terrible fight scenes.
Terrible fight scenes. Weird continuity gaffes. Just weird weird bloody sets and props. Like, there's a scene where Like there's somebody's room is frozen and is filled with ice, and somebody just walks through an icicle, like a stalactite icicle that's on the roof, and it just wobbles back and forth because it's rubber. That's in a move, like a major motion picture. Like they couldn't do two takes and say, "Hey, duck your head a bit and miss the bloody rubber icicle." Garbage. That being said, I quite like 12 Monkeys.
Okay.
And I quite like The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. I
haven't seen that. Yeah. Someone actually asked me on Twitter this week, or maybe it was an email, they said, do you like 12 Monkeys specifically, the TV show?
I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither. Mm. Yeah, there you go. What was that one that you tried to make for use with Johnny Depp? It was The Man from La Mancha or something? It just kept getting shut down. And there's a documentary about it not being made.
Okay.
Can't remember what it is. Anyway, I agree. Brazil is total shit. It looks like a Monty Python movie, except it's not funny.
Yeah.
Like, it has the production values of Life of Brian.
Yeah, it does.
But it's garbage.
Yeah.
And there's that weird bit where he flies. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember all sorts of, yeah.
It's the guy that stars the guy who wants to take over the world with newspapers in that James Bond movie.
Yes.
And Michael Palin's in it.
Jonathan Price,
thank you.
Michael Palin also.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, that's definitely an episode.
Hey, everyone, stop liking Brazil. It's no good.
There's a tweet here from Blake O'John.
Yes.
John Krasinski wants to be in a Marvel movie.
Yes.
What would you like to see him be? How about Nova? Now, John Krasinski came out this week and said how he's Jim from The Office, mm-hmm. and he's also in the Michael Bay film 13 Hours, about 13 Hours. He was nearly Captain America. He put on the suit and everything.
Okay.
And he got beat out by Chris Evans, probably because of the ears.
It's definitely the ears.
Do you think he would have made a good Captain America, though? That was I think that was right in The Office, that The Office was still going. I think that would have been a difficult kind of thing.
But that's Parks and Rec and
That's a very good point. You got me.
It's pretty much the exact same scenario.
Yeah.
How did they deal with it? Because I didn't watch the last couple of seasons of Parks and Rec. Not because I don't like it. I just ran out of time.
It's good.
Did they deal with the fact that he was just incredibly buff? Or yes. Did they just give him a weird fat t-shirt?
It's one line. Well, he disappears for a bit. They film a few scenes in. They go to Britain in one episode.
Uh-huh.
And they meet Peter Serafinowicz, who's in Guardians of the Galaxy
That's right.
And Andy stays there for like 6 months or whatever. So he's out of the show for a bit while he's filming Guardians.
Right, okay.
And one of the characters goes to him, you lost like 40 pounds. What happened? And he's just like, I just stopped drinking beer. And they're like, dude, you must have been drinking a lot of beer. And he's like, I know, right?
Right.
Like, that's it.
Okay,
that's
sure.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But also, I think Jim from The Office still looks like Jim from The Office when you put him in a Captain America outfit.
Yes.
He looked completely different.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the face.
The Jim face.
Like, he's got a lovable face, but it's not like a chiseled.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
he'd be a great Buzz Lightyear. Is that what you're saying?
No, like look, like imagine, because you know how the vast majority of the time they don't have Chris Evans put the Captain America mask on.
Yes.
Because he looks all bulbous and
looks weird.
Yeah. Now imagine John Krasinski's got that on, even more bulbous.
Even more bulbous, even more weird.
Yeah. We've only just gotten to the point where superhero helmet technology doesn't make you look like a complete idiot. we can't take any steps backwards.
So where would you put him if you had to put him in somewhere? He said he wants to be a Captain America villain. I was going to say Nuke, but we've already got a Nuke.
We already got a Nuke. That would have worked too.
Maybe that crazy version of Captain America who took over in the 50s when Steve Rogers was frozen.
Yeah, maybe.
What's his name? I can't remember.
Nomad.
Yeah.
But
doesn't also Captain America himself become Nomad at one point?
Yes, he does. A lot of people have been called Nomad.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a bloody nightmare.
It's a bloody shit show, mate.
Yeah, it is. It's true. What if he was US agent?
Okay.
No, but he's too. So that's the thing. He's too. We got to think of a character who's kind of like. Has he ever played anybody bad? Has he ever been a villain?
Not that I can think of. I'm sure he has.
Because he's too lovable. He's got a lovable face. He's a lovable charmer.
He is a lovable charmer.
Well, who's a character? Who's a superhero that's a lovable charmer?
That big head in the chair, floating chair.
MODOK.
MODOK.
Yeah, he's a lovable charmer.
I think you'd. Who's
and he's big too. He's like a tall.
He's big, yeah. I think Nova would work.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Problem solved.
Thank you for suggesting that, Blake. Because we didn't.
Because we're bloody stumped.
I don't know. I have to.
I'm gonna Google John Krasinski real
quick. Who's left in the Avengers that we can't?
Could he be Sentry?
Sentry, yeah. Could he be the other version of Thor, the 90s version of Thor? What's his name?
Thunderstrike.
Thunderstrike.
The thing about I was going to the thing, because we were talking about before, like, the Flashpoint, and that's an additional level, like time travel and what have you.
Right,
being that, like, the Sentry doesn't work really outside of the comic books.
Okay,
because
sure.
Because he is a like a deliberate product of comic books, and he's like, this is a character the world's forgotten about, but it's also a character we, the reading audience and the publishers, also forgot about. Like, he's a character we left in a drawer for a long time kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know what? Just make him Nathan Drake.
Oh, sure. Okay, right.
That'll do it.
No, we're gonna find a definitive answer.
All right, fine. Just make him the new Hawkeye. Swap out Renner. Hang on, I'm just bringing up
Captain Marvel.
There you go. Done.
Luke's buddy, that's what
you're
you want.
Right, you've done it.
You want. You want him. He's super. He's big. He's a. He can be a huge shredded man,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But he's got the little bit of, like, he's got the 1950s a little bit of. Look at the blood. Look at his bloody hair. Look at his bloody hair on him.
Yeah, he can definitely do that.
He can give the rockabilly bit of a rockabilly swirl to it. He'd be Captain Marvel Jr. Probably not.
He could be Hulkling. Nah.
No.
No, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm saying Captain Marvel. Have they cast Captain Marvel yet?
No. No. I want to say no. All but right. I also want to say yes.
He could also be Blue Beetle.
Yes, he could.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Booster Gold.
Or Booster Gold. He'd be a great Booster Gold, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
We've nailed it.
We have. Good
We've
work.
Come up with solutions.
All those classic Marvel characters.
Yes.
Every one of them.
Oh, did we say Marvel?
I think he said Marvel.
Oh, right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He said Marvel movie, but
he's out. We can't give him anything but Marvel. It's bloody.
It's bloody Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Done. Last tweet. This is from Pezza Tweets. What are your thoughts on the Evil Morty theory? Discuss. You familiar with this?
No, I'm ready for it though.
I think, and this is just off the top of my head, though I might be wrong. So in the show Rick and Morty, spoiler alert, I
love
guess.
It.
I know
it's
you're
good.
Saying it.
Yep.
There's a character that shows up at one point. There's multiple Ricks and Mortys from multiple infinite dimensions.
Yes.
And in one dimension, there's a Morty with an eye patch who has a Rick, whose Rick isn't really a real Rick. He's a robot that he's controlling.
Yes.
And this Morty is an evil genius.
Right,
and he's
because
the
in
only
in,
competent.
Yes,
Morty.
Because in this episode, there's so many multiple Ricks and Mortys, and
yep.
It's always Rick is some sort of incredible super genius, and Morty's always his sidekick.
Yes. And you need the Morty.
And we assume that Rick is the evil Rick is doing all the bad stuff.
Exactly. And the idea is that Rick needs a Morty because they have their brainwaves. So Morty's kind of so dumb or dull,
right,
and docile that he cancels out Rick's brain
waves,
so he can't be traced.
He's an anti-tracking device somehow.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the idea, I think the theory is, and I might be wrong here, that evil Morty is the Rick that we see, the main Rick's original Morty, and he abandoned him or thought he was dead.
Huh.
I think that's a theory. I might be wrong.
Well, that's very intriguing.
Yes. It's a good show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's real good.
Yeah. You looking up the evil Morty or looking up
No, I'm
different
still
thing?
Trying to think of a role for John Krasinski, like a Marvel role. You know what I mean?
You could be the Captain Marvel character.
No, it doesn't work. It's usually a lady.
Usually.
Yeah. He's got to be lovable.
Mm.
But he's also got to be huge.
Can he be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent?
Mm.
I think he'd be a good S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah, I guess. I'll think on it. I'll bloody tweet it.
Well,
when
there's not enough time, Mason.
There's not enough time. We're at the end of the bloody show.
Oh, there's a theory that the Morty we see in every episode is a Morty from a different parallel dimension.
What, every time?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, also, this is a shout-out to Cam the Canadian from his friend Eric, because unfortunately his father has cancer and he couldn't make it back to college this semester, which sucks.
Mm.
Both of those things suck. Also, can they be the official Pilot Poe and the official Beeping BB-8 of the podcast?
Yes,
respectfully.
They can.
Absolutely. I'm going to say no.
Oh, wow.
But look, them's the rules.
Yeah.
It has to be 100% unanimous.
Wow. Everybody gets a veto.
That's
so.
Right. No, of course you guys can. I hope everything works out. That
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the best. All right. Where
Maybe Ron Krasinski could be a Canadian character.
Isn't there a Captain Canada guy?
There's Captain Canuck.
Yeah.
Sure.
What about Captain Britain?
He could be Guardian, who's like, he's got like a super suit.
What about
very
if they,
charming.
What if they made him the big-headed baby on the moon? Just
oh, the Watcher.
Yeah, just make his CGI. Yeah. Just make his head just that little
okay,
bit
sure,
fraction
sure.
bigger. Mm. Make him a big, bald baby's head.
I imagine there are a lot of people shouting really obvious answers as who John Krasinski could be in the Marvel Universe.
Tweet at Mason.
Please do.
At Wikipedia.
I would actually like to know.
Don't tweet me.
Okay. At Mr. Sunday Movies. Do, though.
Do not. All right, where can people find us? Well, we just said that, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. We're at Wikipedia Brandon, at Mr. Sunday Movies on the Twitters.
That's right.
The Weekly Planet you should also follow because they're great.
Everything that Collings. We do in, on any podcast or anything. Speaking
he's
of...
there.
He's bloody there.
How does he know so much about us?
I think he's you. I suspect.
Oh.
No. I'm on a Sandspans thing at the moment, which we recorded a while back. It's on Bandcamp. It's the D&D episodes. I think you can now buy them on Bandcamp, but they'll be out in a few weeks.
Oh, D&D's for nerds, it's called, right?
But my episode is called D&D's for James.
Oh.
So it's on the Sandspans Bandcamp, which great. Almost rhymes. So you can check that out. What else? What else are we doing?
Let me think.
Amazon link if you're interested.
That's right. Patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies if you want to contribute a couple of bucks a month.
Absolutely.
But again, do whatever you like. Live your life.
People asking for more commentaries. We will do that. Probably Man of Steel will be next, would you say?
I got a lot of spare time coming up in a couple of months.
Good.
So we're gonna make that happen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you want to buy a t-shirt, only buy them from Golden Legend.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what would have been good? Mm. You know what I would have let it roll if it was like because there's a lot of people have put up just like weird Weekly Planet t-shirts.
Yeah.
There's one that's just, it's Meso. It just says Meso and it's like a cartoon photo of me and I'm wearing a little crown. It's just my head.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they'd done like, you know how you'll see a Simpson, you'll go to like a market stall and there'll be like a Simpsons t-shirt and I'll be like Rasta Bar. And he'd be like, hey, Mon, you know, if it was like that. Let it ride, man.
But stealing somebody else.
Grab that spliff. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about?
But you're saying if he's just taken Golden Legends design.
Yeah, then what are you doing?
No,
what are you doing, mate? Anyway, buy one of those.
Yeah, buy one of them. Or them.
Do we have anything else? What else do we do?
The Amazon link. The what's it called? The Geek Fuel, if you're interested.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty sweet this month. And I think that's it.
We did it.
Yeah.
We said some words.
We did, didn't we?
In a somewhat coherent order.
Somewhat. Next week, maybe things we hate or love.
Oh, yeah, maybe that. When's Deadpool coming out?
I want to say the 12th, and next week isn't the 12th.
Were we thinking about doing a showdown episode?
Yeah, do you want to do that next week?
Let's do a showdown episode. Okay. All
right, fine.
The people demanded it. What do you want to do? Because we've done hero versus hero. We've done villain versus villain.
And then I think we just did whoever versus
whoever. We did
whoever.
A bloody, yeah, okay.
Why don't we do, again, whoever versus whoever?
Yes.
But I don't want to see, like, what do you think of Sam Wilson, Captain America versus regular Captain America? I want to see two people that are matched but a different.
Okay, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's not just like two versions, two very similar versions of the same character fighting each other.
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah,
like, say, Sam Wilson versus, I don't know, Angel. It's not a good example.
Think out of the box.
Think out of the box.
What we want is we want to have a result. We want to come up with a result and for people to be angry at us no matter what. We want people to just hear what we say about this guy versus this guy and go, well, obviously that's wrong because of this, you idiots. Like, we want to create some sparks.
That's right.
We want to create a bloody firestorm.
And we'll never respond.
So, yeah, that's right. Not ever. Why would we? We're all just shouting into the void.
We certainly are.
Anyway, yeah, just think out of the box.
Yeah.
If you've got a burning versus.
That's right.
Tweet at us. Let us know.
Yep. And or hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Mm. Also, there'll probably be a Reddit thread. We'll go through.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to pick out necessarily the best ones. It'll just be ones that we see and in no particular order.
Yeah. But look, eventually we'll get to yours at some point before we die.
Yep.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Because we're going to live forever.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening to the show, everybody.
Grab a dat jam, you guys.
Please do. That seemed like a good show.
I thought so as well. Sometimes it's hard to tell with all these green screens about.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.